Does it feel like the world has gone crazy? There's more anxiety, more division, more uncertainty. The weather is even getting really extreme. So more people are questioning everything they've ever believed more than ever. But what if this isn't the end of something? What if it's the beginning of something humanity has never experienced before? So no matter where you are in the world, it's really hard to ignore the fact that something feels really different. People are questioning their careers, their relationships, their health, their beliefs, even who they are. So is humanity falling apart or are we waking up? Joining me today is internationally acclaimed intuitive healer and best-selling author Inna Segal. And for more than 2 decades, Inna has helped people understand the connection between the body, emotions, intuition, and spiritual growth. Today, we're exploring one of the biggest questions of our time. What is happening to humanity and what are we being called to become? Inna, it's really great to see you again. Thanks so much for being here. Huge topic in the world right now, and I'm so excited to get your take on everything.
So good to be with you here, Lisa.
So, man, what is going on? Like, literally, like, everything is crazy. I can feel the energy. It's wild. When I close my eyes, I see like a tornado. Like, that's what it feels like. Do you believe humanity is going through a major shift? Like, what are you seeing?
Well, I think we've been going through a major shift for a while. I feel like we've been going through that place of how do we awaken? How do we come back to ourselves? And some people are refusing it with everything they've got, and they allowed the media to be, I guess, their internal guide around their life. And so if the media says we have lack, then they run around like buying toilet paper or things like that, or they go into fear or petrol. We had this petrol thing where everyone was going and buying extra petrol, or whatever the fear-based kind of messaging is. We see those people running around like those like chooks, kind of going, oh my God, I need this and I need that. And, and then we have people who have started asking a lot of questions and waking up and going, this doesn't make sense. Let me research this. Let me come back. Let me learn about things and understand things. And in there's been a huge awakening towards everything in life. What are we being told? Is it truth? Is it lies? How do we discern what's lies and what's truth? How hard is it for us to acknowledge when we want it to be true, but it's not? So I think there's been a lot of upheaval. I would say COVID was the time where it really started shaking people up and getting people to, to start to look at things that maybe they never looked at before.
Absolutely. That's when I look back to my awakening, the message I keep getting was it started there. And I've heard so many people say that. But I feel like the end of last year and like the beginning of this year, so many people are saying that they're waking up and they just feel like they're completely different, or their lives are like completely changing. Like, people are leaving relationships and quitting their jobs and, really taking control of their life in this independent way. And then there's a divide, and then there's the other side of where people are using more substances and becoming more addicted because they're trying to numb themselves. Is there a reason for that? Is there a shift happening in frequency, or what are you seeing?
I think I'm seeing, from my side, I see a lot of chaos, like you were saying, and I guess people not necessarily knowing what is the way to go now, but wanting potential change, and that they're becoming very uncomfortable when they have been comfortable before, like you were saying, in terms of, relationships. Or people, and again, if we break things down, like in terms of relationships, I've seen two things: either people having, kind of crazy stuff, and they're, well, more than two, I should say, and they're staying with it, and they're just, like you were saying, they're using whatever means or ways to ignore it because they're so fearful. and they're holding on to what they have, even though it's destructive. Or I've seen the other side where people are going, wow, what an opportunity. Let me work on myself and also on this relationship. Let me self-reflect. Let's come together because we don't know what's coming. So let's do this together. Let's work all this stuff out and, you know, become more of a team. Or that I have my friends who are, or people, clients that are single who are kind of going, oh my God, you know, who are these people? And, you know, finding it more challenging to find somebody that I guess is stable in terms of themselves. And, you know, so I think that there's a lot of chaos in that sense. And then there's financial chaos that's happening where people are, you know, being pushed to, you know, to pay more for things. So whether it's food or whether it's, I don't know, electricity or housing, and this fear that shows up, you know, of like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to afford it? And I've definitely seen a huge amount of that. And I think this is where it always comes back to, you know, whatever it looks like outside and whatever people are telling you, is this actually what you want to focus on? And I've been doing a lot of experimentation with that where, you know, the more I hear something, the more I'm like, all right, let's explore the other side and see how our inner self is impacting this. And I think, you know, we do have, you know, now access to, and we were having that chat before we started, to deeper places within ourselves in terms of transformation. It's almost like, you know, places that were not accessible before are now being accessible. So it's the best time for healing. It's the best time for going deep within and transforming. At the same time, you know, from my studies into spirituality, we are in the time of evil. And I see that as not, you know, something to be terrified over, but to understand that we all have the dark and the light within us. And so when we're talking about being in the time of evil, that everything that is dark, that has been hidden from view, is now coming up for us to see, you know. And so we're seeing the evil in the government. We're seeing the evil that's showing up, you know, where people are being so harsh with each other. And I think I said that to you as something, you know, we should discuss, because there's definitely been a change where, you know, that those parts of us that maybe we were able to hold earlier on, you know, or, you know, for a long time, and, you know, and be much more aware of other people and respectful. I feel like now with how the internet is, how the social media is, people are, you know, are exploding and often getting their, you know, anger out on people they don't know, that have nothing to do with their lives, because there is so much anger inside of people that they cannot contain anymore. They cannot suppress like they used to. So this is something that I've definitely noticed a lot more of, this, you know, harshness. And I think evil is really about seeing that shadow within us and going, you know, it's so much easier to do something that doesn't require you to stretch, doesn't require morality. It is really easy, you know, because we see it a lot as well. But to choose the higher path, the moral path, is not easy. And also to, when you're choosing it, not to be on your high horse and think that you're right for everyone, but to actually understand various points of view. And I think that's what we're really challenged in life at the moment. And I see it in politics, you know, people, you know, they want to have war and conflict and, you know, attack each other much more than they want to have peace at the moment. And, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood, you know, it's like, how easy is it to put someone down? How easy is it to make somebody wrong or bad, as opposed to, well, hold on, is this helping? Is this helping us? Or can we, what does it really mean to have the sisterhood, brotherhood that I think most of us would want to live in?
I mean, even for myself, I'm having a hard time navigating it because I do feel like there's a spotlight on old belief systems, insecurities. And when those things are coming up, and then plus the uncertainty in the world, it makes it really hard to hold on and to stay grounded. And so what do you think the world is asking of us? Like, what old beliefs do you think humanity is being asked to let go of? Like, how do we handle and navigate these changes?
Wow, that's a big question. I think that, you know, the beliefs about competing against each other instead of supporting each other, you know, that we're on the same team, which is survival of humanity, as opposed to that right now, I think what we're seeing playing out in so many countries and definitely politically, this, you know, us against them mentality, which is so huge. And it's old. It is a very, very old mentality. Yeah. And I really deeply feel that we're being asked into connecting, you know, into the opposite of that, into how do we build this world together? You know, how, by me sharing something with you, how do I impact your life now and your life in future times? You know, what are the seeds that I'm putting in now that may sprout later, that are the seeds of goodness, of strength? Because we're being challenged. I almost feel like, you know, when you look at any direction, every direction is challenging people. And at the end of the day, it always comes back to how can I build, you know, my sense of self and my spiritual practice, because that's what gives people a break, you know, and understanding why am I here at this point right now. And I feel that when we see that we are here right now as an opportunity to learn, grow, evolve, awaken, strengthen, have more, in that time of evil, find our greatest depth and wisdom and courage, maybe purity. This is where it allows us to refine, you know, as a higher being as well, like as a soul, as a spirit.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the hierarchy is changing. Like, people are becoming less interested in leaders who are like all ego, and it's becoming like people want to be around authentic people who have a heart, you know, and who care, and who people are being drawn to that. But it's also like in this point where people are being drawn to that, but they don't trust it fully. So there's so much uncertainty. It's like people want to connect, but they don't know how. And then you bring in like the birth of AI, which is literally taking over the world right now. And that's causing even more of a divide too. So there's got to be this separation and then a coming together. I don't know. That's what I predict 10 years from now anyway. But in the meantime, people are having a really hard time navigating this. And when you're working on people in terms of the body, how is the body responding to this collective shift? Are you seeing certain symptoms coming up more often? Or what are you seeing in terms of body reactions?
Definitely seeing a lot of, I'm going to say, struggle with people's mental and emotional well-being. So people having difficulty being inside of their bodies, their mind running 100 miles an hour, the nervous system's going into chaos. So I see a lot of that, you know, and I also see an explosion of diseases for people. Like, there's been every day I see articles around explosion of this cancer, that cancer, that. And, you know, I think that it shows me various things, you know, that people are not coping because the body's going, it's too much. Like, what's happening, you know, in my life is too much. And that, you know, how we've lived or the way that we've organized our lives are getting into that state of overload, overwhelm, where our own immune system and our own bodies are not able to cope with this. So I'm definitely seeing a lot more health issues showing up for people than, you know, than ever before. And younger people, you know, where younger people are going, you know, I have two children and, you know, they're constantly giving me feedback about, you know, their own state and their friends. And I think my daughter was saying to me recently that she doesn't have one friend her age, and she's 22, that has a really healthy mental, emotional health, and that, mm-hmm. you know, they're struggling with things. You know, in the world, there, like you said, there's an uncertainty. And, you know, that because she's observed that, she really works on her own mental, emotional health, and she's made it a priority for herself. And, you know, that's become a passion to then share with other people. And that's something that she wants to do, you know, as a career, with helping people with their mental, emotional health. But I think that essentially, you know, yes, we're being shaken up and we're being asked to step up.
We're definitely being asked to step up. That's for sure. It's been wild in the past, like 6 months. I think I'm not even joking, like 10 men that I grew up with from a small town that I grew up in have committed suicide. And these are people that were struggling with, you know, addiction and mental health stuff. And, you know, I'm just seeing this pattern. And it's like I said before, I stress it again, it's like this divide. It's like there's people that are waking up at this rate that has never been seen before. It's like someone wakes up and the next day they feel different. And then there's the people that are like, I can't handle this life anymore. And then they're not able to cope. Are you also seeing intuition becoming stronger for people? And if you are seeing that, why now? Why is this shift? Why do you think the shift is happening?
Well, I think that whenever we go through extremes, it's almost like there is an awakening in one or the other way. So I was actually speaking to someone before I got onto the podcast with you, who was saying to me that in the last, he said 2 years, but his intuition has just, you know, expanded, you know, really deeply, and has allowed him to work through lots of things. So I feel like, again, you know, that we're going to say that some people are waking up to so many things. And I think when you wake up, and essentially intuition for me comes from an awakening of your heart, whether it's through pain or through love. And so, you know, if I think about like my grandmother, for instance, and how she survived the war, you know, World War II on her own, I was listening to her giving me a few, just before she died, I recorded her. So I have a few recordings, and she was talking about just the clarity of her intuition, but it was really right after her mother had died. So it was like, she was in this state of intense trauma and there's war going on, but she also had this communication and connection with her mother who was guiding her. So it's almost like in that state, we become closer to the spiritual world and to the, you know, to our ancestors, to higher beings. And that, you know, my grandmother literally was able to know, like it was like knowing where to go, what to do, even though in the middle of it, as she was getting to these places, there was also a sense of this is too much, overwhelm, and I'm lost. But their intuition was also so strong. And I can see the same with my grandfather, who was, you know, in this, again, very traumatic experience in Siberia, in a camp for something he didn't do. And so it's almost like in these extreme experiences, our senses need to become more conscious, more aware. We are potentially asking, or if we're not, we should be asking ourselves much deeper questions and, you know, looking for answers. And I think this is where, when we are and going within, and even if we're being very deeply challenged, I feel like it definitely awakens those senses within us, where we then start to be much more sensitized to, you know, what's going on, because we're taking the time to ask or the trauma of it all just brings that sensitivity up.
Yeah, it's so interesting. How can someone then learn how to trust themselves in a world that feels so uncertain? Like, what are some things that people can do?
I think that's a great question. And I think it's one that is the most important and it takes the most time as well, because it's not going to just happen immediately. But I think, you know, trusting yourself starts with connecting with yourself. And it starts with asking, you know, maybe placing your hands on the heart and really going, what am I feeling, you know, about myself and what's going on? And whilst I want everybody else to answer those questions, what feels right for me? And also using your thinking. I'm a big believer in using both feeling and thinking in self-trust. So thinking for me is all about wisdom. So I feel like you can trust yourself more when you are able to reflect on situations from the past and go, okay, what worked, what didn't, and how can I, you know, bring like and grab that wisdom, like, and really see what I couldn't see before in that situation. And how can I allow myself to stretch and grow from this? Because the more wisdom you have, the more self-trust you will have. And then, you know, when you're listening to other people, it's almost like my question is always, what experience do they have? What is their right to share something with me? You know, like, are they sharing because they love me and care about me and are worried about me? Or are they sharing because they actually know and they have experience? And most of the time, you know, the people that are close to me are sharing with me because they care about me, not necessarily because they understand things that I need help with. And so then, you know, I feel like trusting yourself is being teachable and going, who is the right person, or, you know, for me to, or a group of people, a book, you know, for me to learn from right now, because on, you know, their level of understanding and knowledge, and trusting yourself to go and explore that. And if you start to feel that it's not right, the question then comes back to, do I feel that it's not right because I'm actually afraid to take the next step and I'm in self-sabotage? Because I see that a lot with people. They're about to do a course with me. They're about to have their biggest breakthrough and they freak out and they go, okay, no, I don't want to do it anymore. And it's like, well, actually, you know, you're afraid of the unknown because you're afraid of the thing that's going to make the biggest shift. Or they, you know, they've signed up to a course that's going to be the deepest and the best for them. And then they go, no, I want to do something that is less effective. And you're like, well, okay, but really, you know, this is not you trusting yourself in this case. This is you allowing this archetype of the saboteur to take over. And I think without knowing all these different parts of yourself, it's very difficult to self-trust, because it's like, what is the voice? It's actually the same as asking questions, who am I listening to and what are they trained in? So for instance, you know, we were talking about conflicts in relationships, and I think that conflicts in relationships occur a lot when you're under pressure or when you're uncertain and things show up. We start arguing, we start having challenges, and most people actually don't know how to communicate in a healthy way. So what they do is they have a conflict and then they call their best friend, they call their mother, they call whoever, and they tell their side of the story. And then they're, you know, that they have these people support them, as opposed to, well, you know, going to a relationship counselor or somebody who is trained in this, who can then bring, like, give you insights and new ways of doing things and thinking about things that brings you back to yourself, that actually builds on trust and confidence, because you're seeing, you're then using those tools and seeing things work, as opposed to people who have no idea and no clue. And I think that's how we often get lost and, you know, stop trusting ourselves, because we connect ourselves and we go, I don't know what to do in this situation. And then we run to people who don't know, as opposed to going, okay, I don't know, I'm going to invest in myself by going to and researching and finding the people that might know what to do. And I think that is such a huge key. And then always coming back, I think at the end of the day, when you can go, I'm going to look at different parts or voices in myself, we'll call them, you know, archetypes that are, you know, those are the parts of you that often sit in the unconscious, and then you'll hear your mother's voice or your father's voice or your grandparents' voice or your teachers or your ex-partners or whatever. And they, you know, or you start acting out like a child. And so these parts take over and have their own voices, and they take over during the period of time when we're stressed, stuck, fearful, and they tell you all the negative, often limiting things in order to self-protect, right? Mm-hmm. And when we can recognize that voice and go, what is this voice actually telling me? And if I can hear it in the right context, then I can follow it, you know, not by seeing it as intuition, but I can follow it by saying, what is this voice asking of me? And I think I shared this with you at one point, where when I separated from my ex-husband, who was, you know, a narcissist, and I was in this trauma, and I'd never been like, I mean, I've lost a child, so I know what trauma feels like, but it was a different level of it. And I could feel my nervous system literally go cold, like literally go into frozen cold state. And then like when I met my present partner, I would be in the car with him and he would be saying something and I would literally be somewhere else going, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do this. And you know, there was, because I've been doing this work for a long time, there was another voice that was coming in and going, this is the voice of the traumatized feminine meets, you know, my childhood. This is not actually doing anything to trigger that state. It's just that, you know, me being in a, you know, stepping into a new relationship is bringing up all this fear and saying to me, hey, no, but it's not the wise part of me. And so I think that people, if they don't know the difference between this is the wise, you know, higher part of me that's got, has gone through lots of experiences, learned from them and can navigate life better, so I can trust that part. And the part of me that is freaking out right now is not necessarily the part that I need to trust, but it's the part that I need to listen to so that I can help mm-hmm. this part heal, or I can help this part transform. I can help this part grow. I can hear it. What is, you know, what is my inner self really saying in this situation and in this scenario? And being really honest about it, because often we're like, well, this happened 5 years ago, I should be over it by now. So it can't be, you know, something that happened to me in the past or when I was a child. It has to be something different. And, you know, and so we have that tendency to constantly second guess everything, you know, and mm-hmm. need answers immediately. And I found, again, I can only speak for myself because self-trust has been a big thing in my life, is that I trust that I have the discernment and the tools. And I said the same to my daughter, to, you know, when anything shows up, to work with it. And if I don't know, I trust that I'm, you know, teachable enough to find the answers and, you know, and make the right decisions based on the wisdom and the difficult experiences in the past. So I feel like trusting yourself is owning all of yourself.
Mm-hmm. The honesty piece, like the real honesty, like the brutal honesty piece, is so important. And like, I'll just say it again, you have to really dig deep and be honest with where you're at. And it was funny because this topic came up today, and I thought it's really interesting because the world is struggling so much, like even the weather is crazy. But the other topic was going to be about why people, you know, break down right before a breakthrough and prevent themselves from getting to that next level, which is something you touched on when you were explaining all of that. Yeah, it's such an interesting time right now. Without making predictions, what themes or lessons do you believe humanity is likely going to be working through over the next decade? Like, what do you see changing and happening?
I think that people are going to be working with Well, firstly, having to make a choice on whether you give your sovereignty and your belief system to the media and the government or not. And I think that's really happening in a huge way. And, you know, discernment. So I think that's going to be a huge part of people going, you know, I can't just believe anything. You know, I need to understand things more before I just give my trust or my belief to somebody. I feel like there's definitely the call to more community. And, you know, what does it mean to have a community around you, and how do you create it as opposed to just family, you know, mm-hmm. and creating, it's almost like, you know, this, I'm going to create the family that I want to have. So I feel like there's definitely that coming up. There's going to be a lot of issues around AI and being watched. So I think there's definitely, you know, fear and stress and tension about how much sovereignty do we actually have, you know, and how much are we being controlled, and what does it mean to be controlled, and what does it mean to rebel against that, and, you know, what's an internal rebellion as opposed to external rebellion? How do I feel like people are going to really need to strengthen their sense of self. During this time, they're going to need to know what they stand for, what they believe, you know, who they believe. I think that potentially, I'm hoping this, people will want to delve deeper. And I think there'll be both, you know, some will want to delve a lot deeper into spirituality and who am I? Like, what am I really here for? And deepen their understanding of it. And I guess, you know, I hope that I'll be one of those people who keeps spreading that, you know, and the seeds of that, and that spirituality is not just love and light. There's so much more to it, and more to wanting to understand ourselves, wanting to understand history in a new way of, like, how did we really get here? Because there is an awareness that so much of what we've been taught is not the truth. So what is the mm-hmm. truth? So I'm hoping that there's going to be so much more interest in discovering the hidden truth that has, you know, that is deeper. I'm hoping that there's more faith in the spiritual, and that when there is, that people who, you know, believe, let's say, in whatever they believe in, but let's say in Christ, or that rather than calling him king, they actually understand that he's, you know, that Christ is a god, not a king, not a human in that sense. And that opens up a new level of exploration into, you know, that being. And that I feel like we still have so many people in this world who believe, and I believe, that Jesus was a man and Christ was a God, and they're not the same, personally, you know. And so, and that Christ came into the body of Jesus for 3.25 years from, you know, when there was the baptism in Jordan, and that Jesus was a very evolved being. This is from, you know, dozen years of study into this. And that people will want to understand that event, you know, and that they want to understand, you know, Christ as a being who sacrificed, who's a God, sacrificed himself to help us evolve in our own, you know, in this world. And that Christ does not require us to give up our own individuality. And I feel like there is a confusion between the word of Lucifer and the word of Christ, where Lucifer said, you know, give yourself over to me and you can enter the kingdom of heaven. And I often wonder when people don't take responsibility for their own self and they go, Jesus, save me, if they really are connecting to the right being, let's just say, or if, you know, the needing to be saved actually comes from their own inner victim and lack of knowledge of themselves, a lack of understanding of who Christ, I'm going to say Christ Jesus was, and what the teaching is really about, you know, and that the teaching is about us evolving and growing and being better human beings and being moral beings and strengthening our I am instead of dissolving it and giving ourselves up to someone or something. So I'm hoping there's going to be a lot more awakening and questioning of this. And you know, I always have this internal feeling of ickiness when people use the word, you know, Christ is king, because I'm like, king is a human, right? It's human. Mm-hmm. And when you bring a God into that, you diminish. So, right. You know, saying Christ is God is very different, or, you know, Trinity or part of the Godhead is very, very different to saying that Christ is bringing Christ back into the human world in that way. And I feel like there's such a lack of understanding, and that we take everything at face value as opposed to really diving into the hidden, you know, the mysteries. And, you know, I'm not saying all of them are true either, but it's like we can only discern when we deepen ourselves and we deepen our own, you know, soul and mind and wisdom. And I feel like, you know, we need to go into the world of wisdom. So I feel like a lot of people are having kind of connections with Christ or Jesus or whatever, you know, in their perception they feel, but not necessarily taking the time to really learn about it. And for instance, and I know I'm throwing a lot out here, but for instance, like, you know, we have the four gospels and they actually say the complete opposite things. And people, you know, rather than reading that from the perspective of let's try and understand why they're saying these different things, what is it about, what they do is they mesh them together and create the nativity plays that make no sense when you, you know, read things and then don't question anything. You know, they just accept things at face value. From everything that I've learned, the choice that we have is we can either go into the war against all within our own selves and fighting against everyone in front of us, or, you know, and maybe that will also happen or happening. But then we also have the opportunity to learn what real connection is and come back to that community of, you know, I can't be happy, you know, if I don't encourage or do something or support my community to do better, you know, and that, and educate them and help them to become stronger so that they can continue that when they're struggling and going through a lot of pain and trauma. So I'm hoping that we, you know, and I'm going to say, when I say we, more people than ever start to choose love and brotherhood and sisterhood and wanting to help and support people, as opposed to wanting to denigrate and hurt and attack and, you know, take out their anger and, you know, that pain that they feel onto people they don't actually know, often people who are trying to do something to help, and actually own your own darkness and work through it. So I guess that's my hope for humanity, whether that happens or not. I don't know, but I'm keeping that vision.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because that's like, I follow a lot of channelers, and I'm in a meditation group where there's a lot of channelers from all over the world, and what everyone is seeing and what they're trying to visualize to manifest, because what we envision, we can literally make a difference in what evolves in the world, as you know, is this great disaster, but then like this beauty in what happens after. So it's the coming together of people because of this great disaster, which is then going to open up this brand new world. And so it's, yeah, like people are seeing the truth of what they've been following. And so, as we know, there's certain people that have been exposed that, you know, are gurus or people that we've been, you know, wanting to believe for so many years. And when we're seeing that, it's making people think, okay, well, if that's not real, then what is? And so this ability to think for ourselves, to be independent, to create our own beauty in the world is becoming so much more important. It's like the new currency. People are less worried about, well, people are becoming poorer and poorer, but people want their independence, their creativity, and knowing themselves. And so imagine a world like that, like 10, 20 years from now. I don't know, I see destruction, but then this like beauty. So interesting. We could talk for hours, but since we don't have that time, I wanted to ask you if there were specific practices that people can do that you think are going to become increasingly more important over the next decade.
Yeah, well, I think the practice of connecting to yourself. I also feel like, so connecting to yourself, breathing, asking questions, coming back to oneself is going to be important. Getting your nervous system into a state where you're able to calm it down yourself to handle things, and so that again you can hear the wise voice as opposed to the fearful voices, both within yourself and others. And then I think, and I don't know if people will call it that, but the practice of strengthening your kind of etheric heart. So we have this physical heart, and then we have the etheric heart, which is that, you know, the energetic heart, the heart that feels everything. And, you know, whilst we have chaos and pain and trauma, it is very easy to shut down this etheric heart and to be, you know, to have it become really small and not just to deal with it, because that's how we deal with life usually, but to actually consciously feel your heart. And I'll often say to people, like, I actually ask them to energetically, you know, tune into their heart and then create it etherically with their hands, and then start to use their hands to feel what is going on in that heart. And, you know, can I start to let go, let's say, of all the, and I have my eyes closed by tuning in, kind of like letting go of all the spears that maybe I have received from people saying hurtful words to me? And can I start to pull those spears out and allow, like, really nourish this heart and, you know, bring lovingness and bring warmth to all the pieces of the heart that may have been hurt or broken, and allow my heart to use the wisdom. Again, it always comes back to wisdom of the past to create a new kind of a new shape, new energetic capacity. That's my favorite word for this year. Capacity and openness, so that, yes, I can still see everything that's happening in the world objectively, but, you know, what comes into that I become so masterful of myself that, and nourish and nurture my heart so much that I only allow things to come and touch my heart, that I choose to touch my heart in that way, you know, and that everything that's hurtful and harsh, that, you know, I have ways to strengthen my auric field and my I am and protect myself from that by not allowing it to come into my heart. And whilst, you know, strengthening and working on this etheric heart to become kinder, gentler, and to be able to be there with people even when they're not loving or gentle, and see the humanity and the, you know, the beauty of each soul that is here and their own journey, but also to be discerning and have healthy boundaries.
Yeah, it's funny because the next question I was going to ask you is like, what is our purpose in this world? Because it's like, I feel like so many people are so confused. They're like, life is so hard. Life shouldn't be this hard. But I feel like that's a whole another conversation for us to have on another day. Inna, I'd love for you to tell people more about the work that you do and what you're up to, what you've got coming up, and where people can find you.
So I'm all about looking at every aspect that we've spoken about and how to strengthen it and how to create pathways for people from, you know, somebody who's listening to this and they've never done anything or they've done very little and it's their first beginning understanding of, you know, where to go. And so I've just recently actually filmed two short online courses where you know, people can connect to their own intuitive body. And so in one of them, I talk about the different stages of healing and how we'll often get stuck in stage one or two, which is stuckness and struggle, and continue that for years. And I've had so much feedback from people saying, oh my God, I had no idea that that's where I'm at. And now I'm aware that there's all these other stages that I need to be working on in order to have real transformation, which is, this is the real reason that I'm not healing. And so again, so that's one journey where people can start to meet their archetypes and work with their inner child and understand a little bit more about who they are. And then I have another journey where we're looking at it from the systems of the body, because you can enter into healing from so many different areas, and how each system and different parts of the body really give us insight. And in particular, I'm very focused on the nervous and the immune systems and how they work together. And then that leads out into potentially people wanting to understand all of their systems and how everything reflects back. And I'm also teaching about ancestry. So lot, and obviously healing, always healing. So the best place to find all of this is on my website, which is innersiegel.com. And yeah, I'm going through this journey of understanding and knowing yourself from whatever angle works for you.
Yeah, I feel like once they start working with you, you've got everything, every tool. Like once you just start doing one thing, like it's not even really, doesn't even matter which place you start, just getting started. And then you start to learn more about yourself and you go down. I mean, for me anyway, I just keep getting deeper and deeper and wanting to know more and more and more and more and more. So important. And what an important conversation we had today. Thanks so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom with us. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with today?
I think that I want to leave everyone with, you know, with a sense of that there's always been times in the world where we're going through war, chaos, some change and transformation. And as much as we have the shadow forces, we also have always the balance of the beautiful forces in our lives. And I feel like the more we can rebuild and strengthen ourselves and focus on, you know, what can I appreciate in my life? How can I strengthen myself and help others? What can I do to create a healthy practice so that I can help others, as opposed to, you know, doing that, I'm just going to overgive and, you know, because I've been rejected, hurt and so on, and I don't have anything left for myself. So I think we've got to really change and turn that around into, you know, asking, my capacity means I give back to myself so that I can be the best version of myself for others, and that I can keep figuring out the wise way. And yes, that pain is not something that most of us want to experience, but if we can grow and learn from it, then everything again can be transformed for, you know, we create for the better, because we create the most beautiful things from the most painful often.
I agree. I agree so much. Well, thank you again for being here. Again, it was such a fun conversation and a really important one, and one that will give people some clarity, hopefully, and what's going to be going on and how to ground themselves, because we cannot stop what's coming. We just have to learn how to live with it and like you said, become our best selves.
Yeah, thank you.
And so much thank yous. So much thank yous. Thank you so much to our audience for tuning in. Whether you're seeing today's world as chaotic or transformational, one thing is certain. So we have a choice. We can live in fear, or we can become more aware, more compassionate, and more connected. So maybe the greatest prediction isn't about what the world will become. Maybe it's about who we will choose to become. And so, Inna, thank you again for sharing your wisdom and for helping us navigate these extraordinary times. We'll make sure to have Inna's website and links to her books and her courses in the show notes for you to check out her work and to start one of her courses. Now's the time to start learning more and more about yourself. So stay tuned for the next episode, and take care in the meantime, everyone.